In today's news headlines, the Senate Judiciary Committee on Thursday voted to advance President Donald Trump's nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court. All Democratic members of the committee boycotted the vote, leaving photos of Americans whose health care coverage could be lost if a court with Justice Barrett strikes down the Affordable Care Act. The committee's own rules require members of the other party to be present in order for a vote to commence. But in spite of the Democrats' absence, Republicans went ahead, breaking the rule to vote 12-0 to advance Barrett to the full Senate. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said this at a press conference on the steps of the Capitol as the vote was being held.
Democrats will not lend a single ounce of legitimacy to this awful, awful hearing. We are voting with our feet. We are standing together, and we are standing against this unprecedented mad rush to jam through a Supreme Court nomination just days before an election.
That's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Thursday morning. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has refused to hold a vote on a COVID relief bill, has insisted on rushing through the nomination just a week before the election. Meanwhile, under pressure from the press to take a stand on whether he'll add more seats to the Supreme Court, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden finally said he would establish a commission to study the issue.
If elected, what I will do is I'll put together a national commission of bipartisan commission of scholars, constitutional scholars, Democrats, Republicans, liberal, conservative. And I will ask them to, over 180 days, come back to me with recommendations as to how to reform the court system, because it's getting out of whack.
That's Joe Biden in an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes discussing a potential expansion of the Supreme Court in response to the conservative supermajority that Republicans are engineering. Commentators have pointed out that in addition to her troubling links to a homophobic private school and many other issues, Barrett ruled in 2015 that a black teenager in Indianapolis who suffocated to death when an officer handcuffed him while he lay on his front did not have the constitutional right to breathe. Combined with another ruling where she decided that someone using the N-word as a racist epithet did not create a hostile work environment, means that Barrett is likely to set back the cause of racial justice and equality by decades once she is on the Supreme Court. In other news, intelligence officials are claiming that Russia and Iran have access to U.S. voter registration data and are using it to send fake emailed threats. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe and FBI Director Christopher Wray made the announcement on Wednesday evening and linked the recent report of voters receiving threatening emails proclaiming to be from the Proud Boys as having originated from Iran. Mr. Ratcliffe, who's a staunch Trump loyalist, said that Iran's aim was to hurt Trump politically by showing the Proud Boys hate group as supporting him. Democrats are skeptical of the claim, and Iran's government denied what it called malign and dangerous allegations. Meanwhile, Trump, who appears to be increasingly unstable as the election nears, is now reportedly considering firing FBI Director Christopher Wray after the election, and is also apparently unhappy with one of his strongest allies, Attorney General William Barr. His anger at the two, based on White House sources speaking with the Washington Post, lies apparently with their reluctance to politically target Joe Biden's son, Hunter. As early voting continues in Florida, the Pinellas County Supervisor of Elections has reported a possible armed voter intimidation effort in the form of two men dressed as security guards in a tent outside a polling site. Julie Marcus told press these persons claimed or said that they were hired by the Trump campaign. I'm not going to speculate to that. This was a licensed security company and they were licensed security officers. The Trump campaign and the Republican Party have been actively recruiting what they call poll watchers to be part of Trump's army to observe voters. Meanwhile, a new study by the Center for Strategic and International Studies has found that two-thirds of all domestic terror attacks in 2020 were conducted by white supremacist and right-wing extremist or armed groups. Left-wing violence was also on the rise, but was a small fraction. The third and final debate between the two major party presidential candidates will be held on Thursday evening in Nashville, Tennessee. The Commission on Presidential Debates, based on Trump's flouting of rules during the last debate, has decided that each candidate's mic will be muted when the other is answering an initial question. You can tune in to Free Speech TV on Thursday evening to watch the debate starting at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, following which I will host a discussion with guests Tom Hartman and Julio Ricardo Varela for 30 minutes. Again, that's live debate coverage on Thursday evening on Free Speech TV, followed by a post-debate analysis that I'll be hosting. Trump continues to face dismal polling numbers as 56% of likely voters now say via a new Gallup poll that he does not deserve re-election. And a new poll by Fox News, whose surveys often show favorable results for Trump, has found Biden with the advantage in the battleground states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. In Ohio, Trump remains slightly ahead of Biden. Biden has also won endorsements from six former Commerce Secretaries under both Democratic and Republican administrations. More than 700 economists, including seven Nobel Prize winners, signed a letter urging against Trump's re-election. The letter said the president, quote, has rendered the United States unrecognizable and has faced no consequences for doing so. And former President Barack Obama has finally been actively stumping for Biden, appearing for the first time in person in Philadelphia. Mocking Trump, whose secret Chinese bank account was just made public, Obama said this.
We know that he continues to do business with China because he's got a secret Chinese bank account. How is that possible? How is that possible? A secret Chinese bank account. Listen. Can you imagine if I had had a secret Chinese bank account when I was running for re-election? You think Fox News might have been a little concerned about that? They would have called me Beijing Barry.
That's President Barack Obama speaking at an outdoor, socially distanced drive-in rally in Philadelphia on Wednesday to promote Biden. Meanwhile, Trump broke an agreement with CBS News to embargo his interview with Leslie Stahl that appears to have not gone as he wanted. The interview is set to air on Sunday, but Trump posted a 37-minute version of it on his Facebook page, saying, "Look at the bias, hatred, and rudeness on behalf of 60 Minutes and CBS." He added, "Kristen Welker is far worse. Welker will moderate Thursday's debate." The latest Labor Department figures are in, and 787,000 Americans were found to have applied for jobless benefits last week, a slightly lower number that has been recorded, but still higher than economists were hoping for. Talks continue between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin for a new COVID relief bill, but Senate Majority Leader McConnell has resolutely refused to back it. The Washington Post explained McConnell's political calculations. Quote, "If President Trump wins re-election on November 3rd, there will probably be a sizable stimulus passed shortly after with the Senate Majority Leader's support. If Joe Biden wins and Republicans hold the Senate, McConnell will do all he can to strangle the Biden presidency by preventing any big stimulus from passing, no matter how bad the economic misery from the recession gets." And that does it for our news headlines.